thought we were going
to. So, Mike, what'd you do in the last week?
Geez, you're asking a lot of me to remember.
Remembering things. It's what's that bullshit?
It's the worst. God, human memory. What's with that? Not a whole lot, actually. I've had like a 5-day weekend. So I've been off since Friday. And it's what Tuesday.
I envy you for that. What you been doing with that 5-day weekend?
A lot of sleep. A lot of waking up at 10 or 11, which is what I did today.
Excellent.
Feels good. And some bonfires, some seeing friends.
Was that this last weekend? No, that was the weekend before, wasn't it?
Different bonfire.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
My bad. Just fucking going to so many bonfires.
You know,
jeez.
I love fire. What can I say?
Mr. Bonfire Party Man. That's your name. That's what people call you behind your back, you know?
That's, wow, I didn't know that. That's,
yeah.
Opens
it's a pretty
my
un.
Eyes.
It's a. We've pretty much all come to terms that it's a really unwieldy nickname.
Uh huh.
And we're trying to work on a new one.
Okay.
Just letting you know.
All right. Well, you let me know when that's done.
Yeah.
And good luck.
No, I will.
Cool. But in addition to that, I've been playing a lot of games with my time off.
Haven't you been playing a Kerbal Space Program?
I have indeed, yes. A lot of that, because it's so much freaking fun. And I finally achieved something that I had been trying to achieve for
a
while.
Did you get into space?
I have gotten into space. I have, the first thing I did was put a satellite into orbit, and then put a space station into orbit, which I'm planning on adding on to. So docking is the next thing that I'm gonna attempt, which is really hard. But no, what I did, over the weekend was land on the moon.
Oh, wow.
And it was super cool.
That is cool.
I smashed into it like 4 times, and then I successfully landed on it.
So, like, I understand the concept of this game is the idea that it's a pretty, like, pretty difficult, like, spacecraft, rocket, I guess, building, sort of simulator game where, like, achieving these... You know, the things that NASA does every day. Well, not every day. Achieving these things that, like, NASA does is crazy, crazy difficult.
Oh, yeah.
Like, within reason. So, like, how do, like, the systems work in it? How does it go about explaining this to me, please?
It's crazy. It's like, they've done it really well. So that it's pretty, it's pretty user-friendly. Like,
okay.
There's a learning curve, definitely. But it's not super steep. So, like, once you learn, like, what does what or what you have to do to control what systems, you can get the hang of it, and you can put something on the moon. I am a communications major, and I put something on the moon, so. like, there's a lot of systems that, like, I don't know how NASA actually controls their rockets, but it's presented, at least in a way, that makes sense, that this is probably how NASA might do it. Like, there'll be... And there are stages, you know, there are stages of, like, from building to launch to, you know, everything that you have to do in space to, like, control it. And, like, when you're building, like, you have to think ahead of, like, everything you're going to need. So you have to think, okay, I need RCS, which is, like, a rocket control system, I think. And that can, like, help you direct the rocket once you're up in space because you need to turn and things. And I've, like, gotten into space and been like, oh, I forgot those. And then you're just floating and you can't do anything.
That's hilarious.
So it's like, you know, there's, it's really friendly to that kind of learning experience, though, because, you know, just a few clicks and you're back building again. And luckily there's a quick save feature as well. So if you're
That's nice.
In orbit around the moon, you can quick save there and then smash into the moon as many times as you like, but you can still go back to that save where you're in orbit over the moon, which is what really saved me, because... Did not want to make that journey again, because it takes a while.
I bet.
You can speed up time in certain instances, unless you're throttled up. So if you just want to wait to, like, float until the point where you have to do something. Once you're in space, you're, like, switching between two different views, which is, like, the third-person view of you looking at the actual spaceship, and then, like, a broader map view of where you are relative to all the things you want to get to. And, like, you can see your orbit or your trajectory if you're not in an orbit yet, and you can click on, like, the little line that you're traveling on and add maneuvers. They call them maneuvers. And so you pull on these different little like tabs that come out of that point, and you can change what you want your trajectory to be. So you can put it into an orbit, or you can get it closer to the moon, so you can like shoot around it and get into orbit there. And then it'll add a little point onto this like globe compass thing. Like, you know those things that are in like the dashboard? It's like a globe, but it's a compass.
Oh yeah, I have one myself. Glumpus.
Yeah. Okay. So there's one of those, and it'll add like a little point on there, and you just rotate the ship until that point is in your crosshairs, and you just throttle up for as long as it tells you. The UI is really nice and really, really very user friendly. So anybody can get to the moon and beyond.
Cool. So the way I figure that it works is that through like different achievements, like landing on the moon or putting a satellite into orbit, you unlock other bits of technology that allow you to go further, I would imagine? Or how does it work?
You'd think so, but no, everything's pretty much available to you from the get-go.
Uh-oh.
It is in beta, I think. Alpha or beta. I think it's beta. And so they're planning on adding a career mode. So that's probably what's going to happen in career mode. But for now, it's just like everything is available to you. Go nuts.
Kind of like Minecraft before like a story mode sort of got initiated.
Pretty much,
with
yeah.
It. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Neat.
Yeah, so they're adding little things here and there. They just added an astronaut center, so you can like recruit different astronauts. It doesn't really do anything yet, but I'm sure that'll have some further importance in like career mode or something.
That's cool. No, I had no idea that it was in beta, actually.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Very much unfinished.
Well, cool. I haven't been playing too much, though I sympathize with you in the sleeping late, because I've been getting a lot of closing shifts at work, including the Friday and Saturday that Lollapalooza was.
Oh, God.
And just to put it in perspective, the store I work at is across from the Big Dumb Silver Bean in Chicago. Mm-hmm. The Big Dumb Silver Bean is mere blocks away from the long stretch of parks that they hold Lollapalooza at.
Yeah.
So pretty much how those days went is it's like steady, like kind of a little bit slow, and then like 5 or 6 o'clock rolls around, and it pretty much just goes dead. Almost like an ominous, like, calm before the storm.
Oh, God.
And then 10 o'clock hits when they kick everybody out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're flooded for an hour.
Jesus.
And then we close for an hour. And it's something.
Well.
I mean, I'm talking, like, getting home at, like, 1 in the morning and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's what I've been dealing with. Good hours, though. I mean, it's solid work, but.
Sure.
Not preferred,
yeah.
Obviously.
Rather not get home at 1 in the morning.
Yeah, right. But that's probably what my schedule is going to be like for like the next 2 weeks until I'm done with that place.
Mm.
I don't know if I told you this. My last day of work is the day right before my 21st birthday.
Oh, nice.
Which I feel like is one of the smarter decisions I could have made. Because I'm like, I'm actively loathing this job now.
Uh-huh.
It's just, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm fucking sick of it.
I feel you there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, less work stuff. One of the fun things that I did, though, I told you I worked Friday, Saturday, but then I had Sunday off, and Mika also had Sunday off, so just hanging out. It's like, I think our friend Diggy, who you met at the board game night thing that we did.
Yes.
He was like, hey, want to go to the Ren Faire? And we were essentially like, where is that? How much does it cost? Yes. So we went to the Renaissance Fair in, it says it's the Bristol Renaissance Fair, and it might be in Bristol, but it's pretty much in Kenosha, in Wisconsin. It's like right over the border. It's really not that far from where we are since we're so up north from the actual city. So we went there, and the Ren Fair is magical. It's awesome. Just all, like a bunch of people in like wacky clothings and all kinds of like pretty expensive but really awesome food.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely split a turkey leg with Mika.
Wow.
That was pretty cool. And they're kind of like, they're really hard to eat. Like they come out like really hot and you gotta like just, it's weird. But then like on top of that, there's all like these shops and attractions and like the best ones, I could tell you hands down, are the ones that try and convince you that they really are in like the Renaissance period.
Uh-huh.
Like there was like all these crazy like leather shops and like some weapons stuff, and like those were all cool, but the ones I like most and were the most affordable were like the like small little like hut that was like selling magic candles. So I think we got 2 candles, and I think one was for like fairies and trees and the other one was for like prosperity or something. So we will prosper with the forest people.
Lovely.
It's really a trip. It's cool. It's mm-hmm. it's a very interesting. It's almost got like a convention like atmosphere to it.
Okay.
Because there are a lot of people who like dress up for this thing. There are a lot of people who do like steampunk. Unfortunately, a couple of like furries and like full fur suits and stuff. So it's just like your regular convention.
Mm-hmm.
And we brought our 3DS with us too, and just had Street Pass on. Just because we figured like it would probably be people with 3DSs. We got like 19 Street Passes throughout the whole day, which is awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. So that was really, really cool. I liked it a lot. Neat.
That's awesome.
I was going to say, have you ever been to like a convention or anything like that? Anything similar?
No, I don't think I have.
I suggest them. Because like, I don't know, even like when they're small, as long as like what you're going for is like vaguely related to your interests, you'll probably have a good time.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've gone to like the only like true convention I've ever gone to was it was one in Wisconsin. It was like their like biggest board game, like tabletop convention,
yeah.
I think,
mm-hmm.
In Green Bay. I told you how there was like probably a max of like maybe 200, 300 people there
because
It's in fucking Green Bay and no one's in Green Bay.
Right. But still.
Even that was still really fun and cool.
Yeah.
So go to conventions, guys.
Yeah.
And bring your 3DSs.
Right. I have to get a 3DS.
You should do that. I think they're doing refurbed 3DS XLs now.
Oh. Would you recommend an XL over the regular?
If you've got, like, if you don't feel bad about spending, like, another, I don't even know the price, $30-$40,
mm-hmm.
like, go for it. Because, like, XLs are nice. They're a little bit more unwieldy when you're, like, traveling around.
Yeah.
But the added, like, screen area is kind of nice.
Hmm.
But, like, you know, I've played around with a DSi XL, and I'm not upset with my, like, regular 3DS purchase by any means.
Okay.
So, guess kind of just a matter of taste.
The bigger screen does seem nice, so I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't know if you know anybody who has one of the XLs. I know I haven't held them. I mean, I don't know. They might be demoing them at like a Target or a Walmart or something dumb.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, who knows? We shall see in the future.
Mm-hmm. You've been playing anything else besides the KSP?
Not really. A little bit of Arkham City, which continues to be awesome.
Mm.
In case anybody was wondering.
I had a day where I was going to do things, but then I started a game of Don't Starve, which lasted quite a bit. Which I dig the game's progression. The more like once you get in a couple of hours into the game, and start getting used to like what you really like need to build. It's kind of like Minecraft. Like you know how it's kind of got like that initial sort of steep-ish learning curve as towards like what you should do in the game and what like the best like strategies and stuff are.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, which is really nice, and you know, but it's different because like at the end, like when your character finally dies, you get experience towards unlocking another character. So like you do like two or three runs with like this new character, and you have a brand new character unlocked. So it makes you want to play more through like the different skill sets of these newer characters.
Well, that's good then.
Yeah. It keeps it interesting, which is always I think like sort of a problem with those more open world like just survive sort of games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you kind of get to a point where it's like, all right, well, what do I do now?
Yeah.
And then it sits for months. But thankfully, Don't Starve keeps it interesting.
I haven't touched Minecraft in a long time.
I can't remember the last... I've tried playing Minecraft on the laptop. It doesn't run well.
Oh.
It doesn't like rendering big, open 3D environments.
Blah.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't played that in a long while. One other thing that I've been doing here and there is Have I shown you a Hey, what you playing?
No, I don't think so.
Well, it's this like web series that both Anthony and Ashley Birch do. Anthony Birch being like an ex writer for Destructoid, now he's the guy who wrote Borderlands 2.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so he went from Destructoid to Gearbox and then wrote Borderlands 2.
Jeez,
which is incredible.
Yeah.
But they do this like small, like funny, dumb web show on the side with like very surreal humor. Anyways, but they do like a stream thing now where it's them and a bunch of their friends, and like every once in a while they just like pop on Twitch and they do like some stuff on there. But they've been playing beta for Payday 2 recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you've like seen stuff on Steam. It's like it's kind of like it puts you in a lot of different like heist situations.
Uh-huh.
But the cool thing is, I've been watching it, and I've been really getting into it, and I really fucking want it later on, because it's got a really good, a multiplayer system. And this is going to be, like, a 5-minute segue, unfortunately, I'm sorry. But I'm so pumped about this game, because the way it works is, you and, like, three other people, you go into these different, like, level, like, situations of things that, the game wants you to do. Like, you're being told from this, like, higher up, like, I think it frames itself as, like, some weird, like, heist like social network person who links you up with other people to rob places, something like that. It's basically that, but a little bit darker and so probably explain better.
Is it kind of like Hotline Miami, like that then? Like how you get calls?
Yeah, I think it is kind of like that.
Okay.
But I mean, the story's not super important. It's more of a multiplayer game, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So you and like three other dudes, like you storm in, and you like finish these objectives, and they might be like rob a jewelry store and hunker down until like your like getaway van comes in, or mm-hmm. it might be like go and like fuck up this meth house, make a bunch of this meth, and then get the meth. Like you get the meth later in like another stage. And you sell it to people to, like, get some cash. Or, if you want, you can steal that meth back from them after you get the cash and stuff. I'm getting in over my head here. Essentially, the thing I like about it is that it both provides a lot of different, like, choices for you without, like, really overtly presenting them. And depending on, like, how well you do in these different heist scenarios, which can go, like, a multitude of ways, you get different, like, you know, cash bonuses based on that, and you get spending money, so you can buy new guns and equipment and like masks and like mods for your guns.
Mm-hmm.
And along with that, like with each like character, there's also like an experience system. So you also have like this kind of, I don't want to relate to like Diablo, but it is definitely like a skill tree system where you can like pick and choose like what kind of, you know, specialist your guy's gonna be. So he could be like a tank, or he can be a guy who's big into surveillance, or like quieting down crowds, or you know, hacking into vaults and stuff. It's okay. I don't know, it's really cool. Like if you have a second, maybe I'll link you to the stream next time they have it going, because it's really cool to watch.
Yeah, it sounds really cool.
Yeah, and I really want this, even though like the thing is, the price tag for it for getting the game when it comes out, it's $30.
Oh,
I still really, really, really want this stuff. To give you a measure of how much I want this game.
That's lower than I would have expected, though. It seems like...
Yeah,
like
I know.
It seems like it's marketed like kind of a AAA game.
It really... I mean, based on the visuals, you would really think it would be.
Yeah, I would think like $60 for this thing.
That's the thing. I'm not sure what it's going to be debuting at. I know it's in beta. I know you can pre-order it for $30 now. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't see them like marking it up when it gets released at all, so... I'm not really sure. I think it's supposed to come out soonish, though, within the next couple months.
Yes, actually, like, next week.
Oh, shit.
August 13th.
Well, cool. Buy that game, people.
Cool.
I wish I had a computer to run it. I don't, though. So even if I wanted to get it, even if I had the money for it, I probably couldn't run it.
That sucks.
Several tears from my eyes.
Several.
I'll add that in later. I'll add it in, like, me sobbing. It'll be okay. Someone's voice sobbing. I'll just have it, like, playing in the background.
Just find a point in your life where you're actually sobbing, and then just be like, oh, wait, I gotta record this.
Yeah.
Just run off into the other room.
Uh-huh. Okay, you want to get to new stuff?
Yeah, sure.
So,
news. I really want to start with this.
Go ahead.
There's a petition.
Yeah.
And it's possibly the most important petition in the history of human existence.
I think it's important to like pay attention to this.
Definitely. You know, because we want our viewers to be well informed about current events, and we want them to be involved in their culture, their civilization, their governments. So there's a change.org petition that we would like to urge you all to to sign as soon as you hear this.
I mean, if you're listening to this podcast, I mean, if you care about like us at all, mm-hmm. and you know, gaming in general and like the community, this is something really important to like, you know, get on.
Totally. So the petition has to deal with the new Super Smash Brothers game, and it is a petition to make a playable character out of Reggie Fils-Aimé.
I know, like, everyone's probably, like, rushing, like, tapping on their keyboards right now.
And they should. This is so important.
Mm-hmm.
This is huge.
I don't think people really understand the importance of it. Like, this could change lives.
It would change my life, certainly. And I wouldn't even play the game.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't either. And I made an alternate identity just so I can pledge to this twice. Like,
wow.
So I could sign the petition twice.
This is illegal, and he's doing it. Is that even illegal? I don't think so. It's just a petition. No one cares.
Yeah, it's fine.
I'm going to go make 1,000 fake identities.
Hey, anything for the cause.
Right, exactly. If you have to strong arm your friends and family, you do it. At gunpoint, make them sign this petition. Okay, don't do
just
that.
Just putting it out there. I called it. Guys.
Did you? Did you really?
Mm-hmm. I think we might even have podcast evidence for it.
Lovely.
I have no idea, actually. I don't know if I said anything. I know I told everyone, how can the Wii Fit trainer be in the game but not Reggie? I don't know if I actually said that on the podcast.
I remember you saying that, yeah.
Yeah.
Reggie says he's into it. So it was asked of him when he was on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, and he said that his body was ready for it, so...
Like he does every other time he needs to be funny.
Hey, his body is ready for a lot of things, okay?
I guess he's just a really prepared man.
That's right. His body is a really prepared man.
Okay, but we have to move on.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It's just really serious.
That is great news, though. I want that to happen.
I know. I'm so glad that's making headlines. Oh, good stuff. Yeah, wow. From there to where do we go?
Yeah, where can we go, really?
Kind of a smaller thing, also, is DICE has announced kind of a little thing about the next Battlefront, which I'm super excited about, because Battlefront 3 is something that me, as well as millions of others, were yearning for. So EA had a... where was it? It was like a stockholder meeting, and so they just kind of... offhandedly said, it wasn't like super lockdown or super official or anything, but kind of gave maybe a release date for the game, which would be summer of 2015. But it kind of seems like they said that just because, the CFO of EA, I think, said in the meeting that the game will most likely come out around the same time that the Star Wars sequel movies start to come out, probably in the summer of 15. So it seems like he was just saying, hey, the movies will be out then, let's probably maybe shoot for then.
Hmm.
2 years. I'm willing to wait. And I would just, again, like to voice my concern that I hope it's not just, like, Battlefield with a Star Wars skin. And I don't want it to be first person either.
Now that you're saying it, though, Battlefield with a Star Wars skin does sound really cool. But that wouldn't be very Battlefront either.
No, it's not Battlefront. Battlefront's got to be third person. It's got to be its own thing.
It's gonna come out and it's gonna be second person somehow, and you're just gonna get furious.
Second
and very
person.
Confused. I don't know how you would do a second person game.
How? No, you can't. That's not even.
I don't.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that just a mirror? You're just looking into a mirror the whole time.
The whole time.
What is that? Second person is like you, right? Like when you use you?
Yes, in books.
I'm just confusing myself. Okay. So that's Battlefront.
Guys, put more mirrors in your video games. Second person. It's going to be big.
Oh, God. What you got?
Let's see. I'm going to fly through a couple of small little, like, mention-y things. Because, like, some of these are important. Some of them I just want to, like... are kind of need. First thing I want, while I have not played any of the Saints Row games, I am generally a fan of comedy games, and Saints Row has been known to just be balls out, like, very funny.
Oh, yeah.
So they've got a cool thing going on where you can actually go, like, follow a link and make your Saints Row character for the new Saints Row 4 game.
Hmm.
before the actual game comes out. So you can go to the site, you can make your character, and then when the game is, like, happening, just, like, load him in there. So okay. That kind of skips that. And, I mean, like, I thought about it, and that's actually a really cool idea because
yeah, that's pretty
one
great.
Of the most... Like, while I enjoy making characters, like, doing, like, pulling a Skyrim and spending, like, a long time on a character or, like, in any of those kinds of games, that's good. It's great that those options are there. But you can't help but think that does kind of, like, break the experience for a few seconds.
A
like,
little
just
bit,
for
yeah.
a while.
It can be really time-consuming, depending on
no,
how...
No, it can be. And you can, I mean... Don't even get me started on how much time I've spent just, like, pondering what my character's name should be.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like, I probably spend, like, as much time on that as I do the whole rest of the character.
Yeah, definitely.
But that was just a cool thing to mention. I like that that is a, that's an option.
That's a good idea, yeah.
Yep. Another quick thing, Left 4 Dead 3 has, is a thing, I think. Yeah, pretty much what happened is there were some people who were touring Valve's studios. I don't remember.
Right.
It's someone, some people, like, very specific. Let me check this out real quick. I guess it was, like, fans from the Reddit Dota 2 community,
huh.
I guess.
Oh, okay.
I guess they went on a tour, and some people, you know, took some photos, and I guess somewhere in the photos was some reference to Left 4 Dead 3. And I guess it's going to be running on the Source 2 engine that is, like, currently being worked on so much. That's pretty much all we know. And that just got me pondering, what would they call the fourth Left 4 Dead if they made it?
Probably
left
just, like...
Left 4 Dead, 4 Left 4 Dead, 4 Dead, 4 Left, or Dead.
No, they would just, like, put a lot of emphasis on the 4. Left 4 Dead, guys. Left 4... Dead?
I don't get it. Are they doing an HD re-release of the first one?
No, guys. What? See, because it's a, hang on. So it's like it's a 4, but it can
But the first one was called Left 4 Dead. I don't what.
Do you guys want to see Half-Life 3?
No.
Yes, you do.
Think, what other quick small things do I have real quick?
I just want a little bit of news about it. I just want to hear something. Sorry, go ahead.
Hey, there are people who have been waiting probably twice as long as you have.
I did my waiting, 12 years of it, in Azkaban.
That sounds pretty serious.
It is, it's pretty serious. Tumblr jokes, everybody.
Did you get it?
Oh, I just got it, and it was pretty good, but I don't want to give you credit for it. Because it was.
I don't even read those books.
Wow.
Anyways.
Have you not read any of the Harry Potters?
No.
You've never seen Star Wars. You're just a culturally ignorant person, aren't you?
Yeah, I listen to dumb podcasts and make paninis. Next thing I have.
I listen to paninis and make podcasts.
That's not untrue.
I just like to hear them sizzle.
Yeah, the next quick thing I have is, there was this teaser, which I don't know the language of this. I apologize. Mm-hmm. I do not know Asian language characters very well. But long story short, there is going to be an iOS game that's essentially Tetris meets an RPG. That's it. So the better that you do in your Tetris game, like, the more combos and damage that your characters do... And it's going to be out for iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch. That's it.
This is Japanese.
Yes. Yes, it is. Now that I actually stop and read the fucking article.
They say it's Japanese. Okay.
They also say that Electronic Arts is publishing us, that which means that there'll probably be a lot of microtransactions.
Yes.
Great. So that means I won't probably like it.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Would you like a T-Block? That'll be 99 cents.
Okay.
I'll just do it.
I'll fucking just fuck it.
I really needed an L. It was $129.
You gotta pay the premium price for that one.
It's an important
point. Okay, so what newsy things do you got?
Oh, newsy things. There was a trailer released for a new creepy-looking kind of game. It's like a Frontier game... Which sounds cool on its own, but then it's also, like, Supernatural. Which, now that I say that out loud, I kind of wish it was just a Frontier game. But maybe that would be kind of boring. So it's like, it's interesting though, because it's all like monochrome. It's like black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Except for, like, there are bits of the enemies, I guess, that are like red. And it's an interesting visual style. You should definitely give it a look-see. It's called, what is it called, Betrayer?
Yeah, it's pushing it for the whole, like, first-person horror sort of thing. I don't know what to make of the trailer. It's only 50 seconds long, and it really doesn't... it actually said it's work... Sorry. I think it's got some of the developers that worked on, the Fear games.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. And they were sort of the first, like, pioneers to, like, sort of introduce... Like, really, like, push the whole first-person horror thing, too.
Yeah, so they know their stuff.
Yeah. Could be it's a very interesting idea, and I can't really judge too much from the trailer, because honestly, the trailer is a little bit goofy. Because it's like, oh, like forts, and, like, Indians and arrows, and then ghosts. Floating skull ghosts. I'm like, this sounds
good
like...
Stuff.
Sounds like a bad game of apples to apples. What's going on? But, it's got potential.
There is also an official description, which I feel I should try to dramatically read.
Go for it.
Also, it's coming out August 14th, which is the day after Payday comes out. So also next week.
Oh, okay, cool. So can you try and do, quick. Like, do you remember back in the 90s before that one, like, movie announcer guy died? Whenever you saw, like, a trailer on TV, mm-hmm. like, the really deep, coming this summer. Try and channel that.
I don't know. Okay. I'll see. Betrayer is a first-person action-adventure game that takes you to the new world at the turn of the 17th century. The year is 1604. You sail from England expecting to join a struggling colony on the coast of Virginia. Instead, you find only ghosts and mysteries. What catastrophe blighted the land? It drained it of color and life. Where are the settlers and tribes who lived here, and who is the strange silent woman in red who aids you from afar? Clue by clue, you must piece together the story.
Oh, God.
Of what befell this doomed settlement, and find a way to set things right. You will be hunted by corrupted conquistadors. Oh my God. And ravening shadows as you explore an expansive wilderness in order to trace the brief, tragic history of the colony and search for survivors.
Oh my God.
Oh man. We have to let's play this.
Yeah, what I actually hope is that this game is... Like, I want it to be good, but on the other hand, I also want it to be kind of, like, not, like, bad in a very funny way.
Yes. Oh my God. Corrupted conquistadors. That's what got me.
Ghost conquistador. Oh my God.
Oh yes. Oh man.
Good. Thank goodness.
Oh.
For that. All right, moving on.
That's
more time that we need to spend on that.
Seriously.
Okay.
Let's talk some X-Bone stuff.
Okay.
There were two little bits of news that we each have. We both have one. There are two total. I heard about the X-Bone is that it will support external video capturing.
So, yeah.
They're keeping it friendly to Let's Players, I guess.
Did they lay out how that might be? Because I know, like, because we've looked at like back when we were considering, like, it's like if we mm-hmm. did have like this console and like the means to do this, like. What would we need to, you know, do, like, console Let's Plays? And
it's
a lot of equipment.
I've seen people set up, and it seems like kind of a bitch to set up.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think it's HDMI only, the Xbox One.
Mm-hmm, right.
So, the dude, Phil Spencer, the vice president of Microsoft Game Studios, said that it'll work exactly like it works today on the Xbox 360. But with HDMI, I guess. Users won't be able to capture all video content from the console using a stream that supports HDCP, which is High Bandwidth Digital Content Protection, which is their DRM kind of thing. He's... the quote is, if all you care about is getting the gameplay, you're fine. So that's cool. If you want to, like, screen share the UI of the Xbox 360, I guess you can't do that. But recording games, that's cool. He's fine with that.
Okay.
So that's something that they're not locking down, and that's good news. Like, despite the fact that they're going to have, like, Twitch streaming integrated, I think.
Okay.
I think that was a thing, or maybe it was just watching Twitch. I'm not sure. It's one of those. If they had Twitch streaming from the Xbox, that'd be awesome. But if they're doing that, then they're also not, you know, locking out other options, which is
right,
great.
Right. Yeah, and sort of as a, like, a side-by-side to that, there's also news that, I guess, built into the Xbox One is going to be, like, this kind of, like, video game DVR, saying it can record games at 720p at 30 frames per second, which is, you know, nothing to sneeze at. It's pretty good.
Mm.
I'm hoping that that it'll, like, you'll be able to access these in, like, just regular movie files. I mean,
yeah. I don't know.
Like, who, like, they might pull an Apple, and it might be, like, very, very difficult to, like, you know, access those outside of a specific user interface.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
the Xbox One stuff. So
from what I've seen and heard, it seems like that might be pretty locked down, and like that's just to share with your Xbox Live friends or something. Because like it's continuously recording like the last 5 seconds of gameplay.
Oh right, yeah.
Which I'm thinking has got to be pretty taxing on the system, but
mm-hmm.
That's probably why it's not recording at 1080p. So. Because it's kind of continuously recording, just throwing away everything that wasn't the last 5 seconds. So if you want to say, oh, I want to share that thing that just happened, you can, even if you didn't, like, hit record.
Yeah. I can't really be upset about this. I mean, that's unfortunately how I view some, like, Microsoft and Xbox One news now. It's like, am I really, like, upset about this? No? All right, that's good. Mm-hmm. Good day. no, that's cool though. It's good that they're making like steps towards what the PlayStation 4 is kind of like toting as well with, you know, their Twitch streaming stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In their own sort of way, obviously.
Are they the ones who have the Twitch integration?
PlayStation 4 definitely has Twitch integration.
Okay, so you can like stream to Twitch from the console.
Yes.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So good on them.
Yeah. Sure. Why not?
You seem really reluctant. It's like, yeah, I mean, I guess. It's fine.
I mean, it's Microsoft. Do we really want to pat them on the back?
Well, it's better than nothing. Things, that's how I'm looking at it now. It's much better than just not including something like that at all.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, can you imagine? There will be no video capture from the Xbox One whatsoever.
Yeah, we just, you know, that's dumb. And we don't like it, so
commence with Let's Plays of every other game. And Halo is never seen on YouTube again.
Oh yeah, I'm sure they would pull that.
I mean, they got the Halo TV show coming up, so.
And I'm sure that they're gonna do more Halo Mountain Dew cross promotion stuff.
Sure. Doritos, yeah.
Gamer Fuel.
Mm-hmm.
There's only like one Gamer Fuel ever. Oddly enough, the only Gamer Fuel I ever liked was for like, I think it was for like COD Blops 2 or something. some cherry flavor of Mountain Dew is really good. Anyways,
all right. So the Oculus Rift is awesome.
This is not news.
No, that's true. I just wanted to say it. No, I don't know if anybody's ever used it in conjunction with the Kinect before, but they have now, and it's actually really awesome. It's this guy created, like, there was an old Atari arcade game called Paperboy.
Yes.
I don't actually remember it. I don't think I ever played it.
Wait, is that an Atari game? Holy shit.
It is an Atari game.
I didn't know it was that old. I remember Paperboy. Sorry, I'm trying to watch it now. This is not working. I can't multitask with this. No,
okay,
I remember playing it before too, and it is a difficult game. It's one of those classics.
Yeah, it seems like it would be hard, like on Atari.
Mm-hmm.
So what this guy did was he like created an homage to that, sort of a upgraded 3D version, where and it actually integrates an actual like bike, like a stationary bike.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I didn't think it would be as cool as I think it is now, but it's actually really awesome. It's like, I think it's kind of the first thing that we've seen with the Oculus Rift or the Kinect where you just completely go into this virtual world and, like, everything you do happens in the world and every like, movement you make has correlates to some action in the world. Mm-hmm. So, like, in the game, you're actually riding a bike in this 3D environment, and where the Kinect comes in is when you, like, throw your arms out, you toss a paper, and, like, you can, like, aim, it goes where it's supposed to go, because it's a 3D camera, and, I don't know, it got me super excited about what you can do with these two technologies.
Yeah, right, I mean, we're getting, like, with this, like, I think the idea of, like, total, like, game into, like, immersion is really not that far away, because, I mean...
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're a set of good, like, earphones away from totally being immersed in that world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, because you're just on a bike, so it's got to seem pretty real.
Yeah, right. I mean, and this is cool. Like, this is the kind of thing that I want, like, some, like, museum in New York to open up where it's all these sort of, like, video game immersion displays.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can totally see that happening, yeah.
Yeah, I think that would be a great idea. I mean, that's really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it, like, particularly applies to very much outside of itself. Like, it's a cool, like, very creative, artsy thing. I don't see it, mm-hmm. like, being applied to, like, the industry or anything. But that's fine. Like, it doesn't need to be. It's just, it's a very neat thing.
Yeah, that was the point of the Oculus, the Rift developer kits going out, was just see what you can create with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been really cool so far. People are combining it with also the Razer Hydra, which was that peripheral that was released with Portal 2 a while ago. Kind of also a 3D tracking thing. I just saw a video of a guy who made this, like, really realistic shooter where you can, like, duck behind cover and... Because, like, you're holding the Hydra and it knows where you are. Mm. And you can, like... You can stay ducked behind cover, but you can reach up with the gun and continue shooting.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty cool.
Too real, man. Too real.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, have you seen those interesting sort of, like, full... They look almost like, think of a treadmill, but in, like, in every direction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's another one of those, like, things I'm thinking about, too, with all this, because that, like, mm-hmm. I've seen games developed, like on that as well, and those are, I've, like, sort of seen videos, and it's, like, it takes a while to get used to in terms of walking on it, because mm-hmm. you're not used to not going anywhere when you take a step, so,
right.
Like, there's a lot of harnesses involved, and obviously that's very expensive equipment, but, no, this is it's a very interesting, like, big push towards, towards total immersion with, you know, virtual experiences.
Well, because we can see that we can get there now.
Yeah, the future is right now.
Yeah.
The future, yeah. I was going to say the future was yesterday. This is like the double future. Maybe one day we'll reach triple future.
The double future is where you can, like, smell things.
Yeah.
In the game. It's, call of breakfast toast ops too.
Bravo.
Making toast.
Good job.
I want to play that now. As in, I want to eat breakfast. At 3 p.m.
I did not have breakfast.
What was I going to say?
I don't know.
Oh, this is just, like, I've never watched Star Trek, but this is just further proof that all we really want is the holodeck.
Oh my god, yeah. Yeah, we do.
That's it.
I mean, come on. You got Paperboy being developed on there.
Mm-hmm.
Got all these first-person shooters being developed with Oculus Rift in mind. You got porn games being made for Oculus Rift.
They're coming.
I mean,
I think that's the tagline for the first.
That's great.
Oh boy.
Thank goodness.
Oculus porn. They're coming.
This podcast is just chock full of jokes.
Oh, we're doing good. Yeah. Somebody count these.
Yeah. joke counter. I'll have a annoying ding. Yeah. That'll be great.
Mm.
Okay, I'm going to dip into my news real quick and maybe
do it.
Finish my stuff off real quick. So, Not super long ago. It was actually about a month ago. So the Nintendo 3DS, it comes with these Street Pass games. It comes with two of them. There's there's one called Puzzle Swap and one called I think it's called Rescue Me or something like that. And both of their functionality is completely dependent on the Street Pass function of the 3DS. So, for instance, in the Puzzle Swap one, when you pass another individual with a 3DS, you get their Mii, and they give you pieces to puzzles that that you can like complete over time, and those puzzles turn into like these really beautiful like 3D rendered stills that you can just like look at and drool over on your 3DS. They really don't have any other function than that, and it's a thing. It's all right. It's a free thing that comes with the console, whatever.
Yeah.
The cooler one though is the Rescue Me, where it's kind of like this this RPG where you need to rescue like your 3DS's Mii using the other Miis, and like you find them and they like crawl into like these dungeons with like these swords and shields and stuff, and you fight ghosts and like armored villains and stuff, and you clear these rooms with each of the Miis that you find and using their like skill sets and stuff, and from there, like when you clear certain rooms, like you'll get like small little bonus hats for your Mii and stuff. It's it's small and dumb, but it's a fun like little small thing. And what Nintendo actually did recently is they released, I think it was four new, let me see this real quick.
I think that's right.
Yeah, four new Street Pass games, Mii Force, Flower Town, Warrior's Way, and Monster Manor, some of which I really want because some of them seem really cool, but I don't have them. And they did this a month ago, and I think each of them are priced at $5, or you can get them for 15 if you buy like all four of them together.
Right.
In a mere month, and this is just a testament to how well the 3DS is doing, in a month, they made $4 million from these Street Pass games. That's probably more than they've made off of all the Wii U's combined.
Oh.
Which actually might be true. I don't know the numbers on that. But
it
like
might
that's
be.
That's I don't know. Like that's just so no, crazy. Like to see how much better the 3DS is doing than the Wii U right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean the 3DS has I don't know, it's definitely got more than a year on the Wii U in terms of release. But that's just nuts to me.
Hey Nintendo.
Yeah.
Look, when you put out cool original content at a reasonable price, people buy it and go nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
Everybody acts surprised.
Well, that's why I'm so excited about, I think it was not Satoru Iwata. I think Miyamoto saying that he is working on that new IP or something.
Right, yeah, he's working on something new.
I want that to work.
Yes.
I want that to not be a flop.
Really interested to see what it is.
It's like the man just like shits golden ideas.
Yes. I think we've already gone into how awesome he is in
not enough
previous podcasts. Miyamoto, come on our show.
Yeah. Please speak in broken English to us.
Yes. Hey,
I'll
take it.
That'll work.
I'll be fine with that.
Okay. No, but that's just interesting to mention, just because like I hear like the recent news is Wii U not doing so well, 3DS always doing well. So
yeah, that seems to be the trend.
Right.
Not that I can name like a surplus of really cool 3DS games off the top of my head.
I mean, like they're doing great right now because they've got a good amount that are either out right now or coming out later in the year. I mean, like there are like five games I can like name off the top of my head that I can think of like that are 3DS sellers, and like Fire Emblem Awakening, obviously Animal Crossing, like Luigi's Dark Moon. I think they're coming out with I don't know if they're coming out for another Mario for the 3DS.
And
they're gonna be coming out for Smash Brothers for the 3DS.
Yeah, and Pokemon
eventually.
Of course.
Oh yeah, and Pokemon later in October, and like those haven't even come out yet. Like Smash Brothers, like those are gonna be their heavy hitters too.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy to me how well it's really doing, and I'm happy for it because that means they'll keep supporting it, and that's nice because I own one now.
This is kind of what they always do, though, is that like the console is always going to be held up by like purely Nintendo games, like that's what people come for, and then the third party just sort of comes after they see that people are playing it.
Yeah, I mean, it all really kind of depends because like there were a lot of like they tried to do a lot of third-party support for the Wii stuff, but I don't think third-party sales were really good for the Wii.
Yeah.
So, like, that's why they're kind of seeing less people, like, making games for the Wii U now, I think is what's going on. Then again, there was a very recent news thing saying that Nintendo was going to try and add, like, between, I think they said it was between, like, 20 and 30 indie games on the Wii U by this holiday season.
Wow, okay.
So, I mean, that seems too good to be true.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that would be nice. No one's going to be upset about more indie games on the Wii U.
Totally.
Also, semi-related to the fact that I have a 3DS, I have really been jonesing to play Earthbound recently.
Oh.
So I might get a flash card for that, or I think they're called, like, Acer cards or something.
Mm-hmm.
The ones where you buy them, you could, like, upload the ROMs onto the cards,
yeah,
and then
didn't
play
they,
on your...
Didn't they start locking that down, actually?
See, I'm not sure, because, like, I asked Dave, and he said that the way to do that was to get one of those cards, so I can only assume that he knows what he's talking about.
Hmm.
I don't know, though. I know that they're trying to lock it down. I don't know if there's some way to, like, some wiggle room for that, but I really want to fucking play Earthbound, and I don't want to play it on my laptop, and I don't have a Wii U, so I'm not blowing $120-something dollars on the fucking cartridge for this NES.
Mm.
So.
Yeah. It's available for the 3DS, right?
I fucking wish. It's not. No, it's only for the Wii U.
Oh, okay.
Which doesn't make sense, because they could do that on the 3DS.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Anyways, though, last little news bit that I have is... people kind of know, like, the Xbox Live community is not always being the most friendly, the most PC.
What are you talking about?
I know, like, I mean, hey, every experience I had was nice, but I guess there are some, like, young kids or...
No, I mean, you go on there and you lose to somebody and they say, man, that was a good game. You know what? You're going to get really good. I just want to encourage the hell out of you. Cause...
Yeah, and, like, you get really praiseworthy messages afterwards.
Totally.
And stuff,
mm-hmm.
Saying that, like, good job, you're a team player.
Uh-huh. No one questions your sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
No.
They don't say things about your relatives.
Yeah.
But I guess Microsoft wants to buckle down on that, make it even better, because they're really making a put, like, in all seriousness. Microsoft does want to push for a better, like, sort of reputation system, mm-hmm, on Xbox One, which is a really cool stance to take. Like, that's essentially them looking at how, like, their online community isn't, like, super friendly.
Yeah, they're acknowledging, like, this. We created this monster.
Yeah, which is great. Like, I'm sure it's great for them, like, taking responsibility of that, even though it's not, like, technically their fault entirely.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, like, they just kind of put out Xbox Live and didn't expect a lot of, like, 13-year-olds to be calling people faggots.
Right,
because
yes.
Of how
that's
not
their responsibility.
How they're not pro at COD Blops 2 and they haven't prestiged enough.
Right.
But it's nice to see that they're kind of, you know, laying the track to... you know, a very simplified reputation system. And essentially how it's, mm-hmm, going to work is, like, people will, you know, mark players as, like, good player or needs work or avoid me. Actually kind of similar to how, like, League of Legends does it or any other of those, like, MOBA games where you can be, okay, like, oh, like, a good team player or, like, was, like, kind of abusive and you can, like, say in what way they were.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, they're going to take that and then be able to, like, match up players who are, like, of similar demeanors, I guess, when they play.
Yeah, okay.
And they'll,
so,
you know,
they'll just have, like, a big community of all the regular people in this just horrible pit of...
this horrible cesspool of terrible individuals.
Oh, God.
You know what? I'm not sure. I think they're trying to say that, like, in random matchmaking for, like, games like that, like, a lot of the avoid me sort of people will be, like, blocked off from one another, kind of.
Mm.
I guess they'll try and do that, and, you know, they'll send out warning messages saying that, like, hey, you've been, like, marked as, like, this kind of player, and you should probably stop it, you idiot.
Okay.
But yeah, that's cool. That is good. I don't like hearing stories about, you know, terrible things that, you know, people say on Xbox Live due to, like, the sheer, just the anonymity of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, you know,
also, been a big problem with female gamers.
That's exactly where
that's,
I was going,
like,
to go with it, yeah.
What's keeping them off of playing online.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, it shouldn't happen, so.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like one of those, like, dumb little, like kids being kids issues, but really, like, you know, that's like, the gamer community can be really, really venomous. And, like, I've been realizing this with, like, the fallout of Phil Fish and stuff. I've kind of been realizing, like, we, like, some, like, there's a really, like, vocal minority of people in the gaming community are kind of just, like, fucking assholes.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of Phil Fish and Fez 2. So it was, what, it was last week that he just unexpectedly sort of quit gaming altogether?
Yeah.
Or quit the games industry. So everybody else at Polytron, when they saw that, they were like, oh, what do you mean Fez 2 is canceled? We're kind of working on this.
Yeah, so I was like, oh shit, I have to make a phone call.
Yeah, so it was a surprise to everybody else working on it, but they've said, all the other employees of Polytron have said that the ports of Fez, the first Fez that they were working on, are still in development, so...
That's good.
Yeah, and they're apparently working with Sony for PS3 or Vita versions of Fez.
Yeah, I think they're doing that, but I'm not sure. Does it say in the... Don't they say in the story that, like, that those aren't, like, super confirmed yet, though, or...?
Yeah, Yeah, okay. They're just, like, trying to work with Sony to get that into...
Oh, my God, a Vita port of that would be gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever... I don't know, have you ever, like, played around with the Vita at all?
I haven't, no.
They have seriously put some money into that screen. It's a really gorgeous display. I can see a game like that doing really well on Vita.
Oh, yeah. I want to play some Fez now.
Yeah, me too. Maybe that's what I'll do with the rest of my day.
Cool.
Or maybe I'll try and... Maybe I'll play Bioshock. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing with the rest of my day.
Play games. Just play games. Any game at all.
Gibes.
So, yeah, that was just kind of an interesting little look at everybody else who was affected on Phil Fish's side of what Phil Fish did.
Yeah.
Or at least on his company's side.
Mm-hmm.
Which I didn't really think about initially.
No, I didn't either. And it makes sense that they wouldn't, like, be expecting that.
Yeah.
He's not going to go, it's like, hey, guys, I'm going to quit. Just, I'm done.
Yeah. Because if he had, like, stopped to think about it and tell some people, maybe he wouldn't have done it. But he's not the stop-and-think kind of guy, so.
Nah, yeah. I made the joke before we started the podcast that maybe he'll, like, develop Fez 2 by himself in the dark.
Yeah.
Like, hit, like, this grand comeback story.
He emerges from a cave.
Yeah.
Not used to our sunlight.
All of his hair has fallen out on top of his head, but just grows this long beard.
Yes. It's majestic.
Down to his waist.
Mm-hmm.
Bits of code, like those little, like, scraps of paper, those handmade tweets just all stuck in there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He continues tweeting just IRL.
Yeah. That would actually be really fucking cool.
Mm-hmm. If he just comes out of a cave with a computer he built himself and a copy of Fez 2 contained on, like, 1,000 floppy disks.
Pulls a Tony Stark.
Yes,
about it.
Exactly. This is what I'm saying.
From a bunch of scraps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I mean, there are a decent amount of people who are kind of upset about, you know, obviously upset about that. And the more I've thought about it, the more I've kind of just come to realizations, like, wow, this is pretty unfortunate.
Yeah. And also, I think the industry as a whole kind of needed him.
Yeah?
Yeah, because he was, like, he was an outspoken rebel. I think.
That's true.
I think we need that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, we do like that in our developers.
Mm-hmm. It was personal. It was real.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to have that.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. We'll see what unfolds. This is very early on. I doubt this is the last that we're seeing of Phil Fish.
I certainly hope not.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll make a documentary just about him.
Maybe.
Just Fish.
Hey, you want to talk about that dong face?
I do. By the way, do you like my use of the word dong face?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's great.
Cool. I've never, I don't think I've used that with anyone before.
No, I think it's good. I think it's, yeah.
Like, so the person we're applying dong face to here is former...
Do not apply dong face without consent, kids.
Apply directly to the forehead. Former Electronic Arts CEO John Riccitiello, or Riccitiello.
Riccitiello.
Ricketts. John Ricketts.
John Riccitiello.
Yep. John Riccitiello.
So John, what's John Riccitiello been up to?
Right. He was talking to Games Industry, which is apparently a journalistic outlet of sorts.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought he was like he's talking to the games industry. The whole thing.
There's just a camera that you get on and you address the entire games industry.
It's like a secret underground. Never mind.
It's like the Illuminati.
Yes, that's what I was thinking of.
They just have a red phone they pick up. Guys, more FPSs. So he was at the Casual Connect conference in San Francisco, and he was commenting on what he sees as the copy and paste culture of casual games. And he said that too many games on casual platforms are created with only one aim, making money. This from the man who was formerly CEO of Electronic Arts and who currently works at Zynga. Two companies who certainly could never be accused of merely wanting to make money on a game.
Yeah, I don't think he understands the irony of the situation.
I mean, wow.
Obviously.
It's like, I'm trying to draw some political parallel to this, but I can't.
I think the story tells itself.
Really?
And he's already saying what, like, we've known for, like, the last two or three years with, like, the emergence of mobile games, too. He's not, he's not putting forth new information about this.
Yeah. Now, this is when, like, some Republican senator is spouting family values rhetoric, and then is found to be, like, cheating on his wife with some gay guy in a bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
Which happens a surprising amount.
That was a thing that happened. I forgot about that. A
couple of times.
Yeah.
Or they hike the Appalachian Trail. You remember that guy, right?
No.
It was some congressman who, like, he just disappeared out of nowhere, and all of his aides were like, oh, yeah, he's just hiking the Appalachian Trail. And then later we find out that what hiking the Appalachian Trail means is, like, having sex with your secret mistress in Argentina.
I'm going to start using that.
Yeah, so hiking the Appalachian Trail is kind of a euphemism now.
Just going to go hike the Appalachian Trail for a little bit, honey.
Wait.
Okay, wait a
second. We live in Illinois.
Son of a bitch.
Damn it.
Yeah, I don't really have anything to say.
He's just saying
stuff that we already know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Good old John Ricketts.
John Riccitiello. There was news about the Activision Blizzard, about how they were buying themselves back from Vivendi. Mm-hmm. But we both read it and got confused because we don't economics. So we're going to skip over that.
Yeah, Google that one yourself. There's some like lashback happening from Vivendi.
I guess,
we don't know what's going on.
I guess like people are getting a ton of cash out of this who maybe shouldn't be because it's not ethical.
Oh.
At least I think that's what the gist of it. I could be entirely wrong because that was just confusing to me.
Hey, business majors, email us and tell us what the fuck is going on.
Yes.
Because we don't know.
Just in general and also with that article.
Yeah, like, please tell us what is up with our lives right now.
Yes.
Because
why does the dollar have value? Why do we say it does?
I want 15 pages by Tuesday.
Yes. Damn it, Parker, I want pictures of Spider-Man.
That's what I was thinking, too.
Nice.
J. Jonah Jameson is one of my favorite characters.
Oh, he's fantastic. I love all the J. Jonah Jameson parody characters on The Simpsons they have.
Yeah.
Ugh. Like when, was that when Homer was, he was being a paparazzi. That was a good episode. Anyway.
He was being a-hole paparazzi.
Yes. What?
What?
Where do you want to go next?
We
got three stories left.
How about we do the first, the third, and then kick it off with the second one. Do the
Got
so
it.
There was this
yep.
boy.
So there's this boy. This is true. So this 10-year-old boy, him and his grandmother, is driving. He's in the car with her. He's in the passenger seat. And she passes out.
Yeah, it's like old people do. They just
pass out sometimes.
They just like, oh, I think I need to sleep now.
Well, maybe she had a stroke and we're awful people. I don't know.
We might just be fucking terrible people.
I mean, we know we are, but...
This is why we don't get listens or views.
This is why? Okay.
Yes.
So she passes out and he's thinking, holy crap, because, you know, nobody's driving the car now. But he grabs the wheel and, like, successfully steers the car into a ditch. He said he tried to wake her up, but then he just took the wheel and drove it into a ditch. And she was airlifted to a hospital where she is recovering, people, so...
She's fine.
We're not awful. But the cool part of this, we're not just, you know, telling you some random news, is that he credits his ability to drive things into a ditch, I guess. Or his ability to drive in general to Mario Kart.
I was gonna say, if he credits it to, like, driving in a ditch, he might suck at Mario.
I mean, he's just been playing Rainbow Road for... like 5 years.
He's been waiting for this day.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, like, with a story that, like, kind of is a little bit of a red flag for me, he also says that he's really good with, like, go-karts and stuff.
Yeah. So,
which, I mean, that
that's probably more important than the Mario Kart.
Yeah. It's a little bit more
Mario
applicable,
Kart
I would say, than the Mario Kart.
Definitely didn't really teach me anything about driving. What it taught me was go fast, hit that guy, and blue shells are bad.
I never get any item pickups on the road.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking scarce.
It's like everybody in front of me has already gotten to it. And I miss the refresh rate.
Absolute bullshit. Fucking real life.
Did you see that Instagram I posted a while ago? Of like, me and my sister were, we went to Barnes & Noble and we pulled into this parking space and we get out and there's a banana peel like right next door to our rear tire. It was fantastic.
That was close. You almost died.
Right? I was going to, like, spin 360 degrees, and it would have been bad.
Super bad.
That's what I learned about driving from Mario Kart. Also, back in 2007, an animation studio called Imagi, I guess, or Imagi, something like that, they pitched... a CGI Legend of Zelda movie.
Yeah, and the footage for it is only like maybe, was it like a minute long, minute and a half or something?
Yeah, something like that. You should go check
somewhere
it out.
Somewhere around there.
Now,
I mean, you could check it out, or you could not, and you'd probably be fine about it.
Oh, totally.
Or if you need, if you need to be reassured that a CGI Zelda movie shouldn't happen, that's what you should watch.
Now, first thought... you might think that a Zelda movie is something that you want. But I want you to rethink that desire, because it's a terrible...
I want you to rethink it with a hammer.
Yes.
Like, a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, it's super weird, like, just seeing it animated the way that it's animated. I don't know. I never... I thought of a Zelda movie never even crossed my mind, and...
Mm-hmm.
It's...
There was a while where I thought it might be a good idea, and then I realized... hey, the games are CGI movies, so...
Yeah, pretty much.
Except better, because I'm playing them.
Mm-hmm. You can make choices and stuff. Hey, you can choose where the bomb chews go.
That's right.
Yeah.
So yeah, Zelda movie, not a thing that should happen. But go watch a weird 2007 CGI trailer for it.
Yeah.
It's weird. And the final thing that I have is a...
Final thing is a thing that you should check out.
Yes, definitely you should check this out. It's a Kickstarter campaign, from this designer in the UK. It's called Every Day is Play, a celebration of the video game. And what it is an art book of a bunch of different artists and gamers from all over the world, pitching in, like, fan art and... just video game art of all kinds, photography and illustrations and
yeah, I think there's supposed to be like some sound and music in there as well somehow. I don't know how they're gonna do that, but
is there really?
I think that's what they were touting.
That would make sense digitally, I guess, because there's going to be an ebook version too.
Okay. Then maybe that's how that's happening. Yeah, it's pretty early on, 26 days ago. 8,740 squiggly arrow ghosts have been donated.
Which is a pre-show joke, which is what Zach refers to as pounds.
Are those pounds? Are those pounds or euros? Those are pounds.
Those are British pounds, yes.
Okay. So that's how many British pounds they have. Right. So I guess if you donate how many pounds you weigh to it, then...
That's how their money works,
So we'll get closer. So really, from my estimate, if they only need 26,000 pounds, I mean, really only need, like, maybe, I don't know, like, 100 people?
Just a handful of Americans need to...
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just type in your weight. It doesn't actually cost you any currency. It's just weight.
Yeah, you just need to tell them.
England is weird, so... Yeah.
Anyway, getting onto this, though, this is actually this is a really cool like I think this would make a really nice like coffee book addition to like anyone's home and stuff because the way that it's framed is like very very modest and very like innocent. I mean, they just want to make this very cool book that's like this snapshot of how gaming has affected so many different people's lives in a very creative artistic way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can get a lot of really cool stuff for all the different tiers. They have, I think, posters. They have T-shirts. There are prints of a bunch of the art pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, you can get just the ebook. You can get just the book itself. There's something called the console pack, which the final tier, 250 pounds, the console pack legendary edition... reads as follows. You get the gold cover book, gold enhanced litho A2 poster, signed certificate of authenticity with message from Game Paused, which is the design group of people that are doing this, I guess, a litho instruction sheet, and the Kickstarter golden coin, all packaged in a gold edition console box, name and details featured in special high score, double page spread, as a major supporter, and includes the ebook and wallpapers. So that's kind of like everything that you can get right there.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. So I'll try and remember to link that. I'm not very good at including links in some of like the show description stuff, but I always try when I remember to. So I'll definitely try and include this because I think this is a very cool thing to support. Not that I can support it because I don't have the money for it, but yeah, I'll try and include it.
I'm surprised it's not getting backed more quickly.
I think the thing is, like, I've seen a lot of cynicism sort of surrounding it, sort of saying it's like, this is kind of just like every, like stuff that you'd see on Tumblr in book form, like, regarding video games.
I mean, I guess.
Yeah, like, people have a point, but I don't think people understand, like, how different looking at, like, an art book is as compared to looking at
a
lot
of
screen.
Like, insight and input from the artists and the designers themselves, which is really nice.
Yeah, right. I think it's just cool to own something physical like that, but I guess so far some people are not thinking the same thing. But I mean, they're not like super far away from reaching like their halfway goal, and again, they have like just about a month to do it, so I think as this goes on, I'm hoping they'll get backed. I'm hoping it's not just the initial, flood of supporters, and then hopefully it doesn't go to a trickle.
Yeah, I think they say it's like, the last 10 or 12 days is when things really start to pick up for any campaign. It's like eBay. The last couple of hours, the price goes way up.
Okay, that makes sense.
But yeah, it did just start like a couple days ago, actually.
Right. Yeah.
6 days ago. So yeah, I have high hopes.
Support that thing.
With your pounds.
Get fat.
Just to be clear, pounds aren't actual currency. They're used in Britain, and there's an exchange rate for U.S. dollars or any other world currencies. You can just Google that. And
if you believe anything Mike they just said, you're wrong. Mike, you make YouTube videos about your life and things that you think. Where can we find those?
Yes, you can find those on the YouTubes at youtube.com/vlogandegan. I've been away. I actually hadn't made a video for 3 weeks, which I felt really bad about.
That's like a record for you.
Kind of, yeah. So I just finally made another video yesterday, and I'm going to try to get regular again, because actually this week on YouTube is Geek Week.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's cool. So I made my Monday Geek Week video about geeky stuff that I like. You can follow my production channel at youtube.com/EganWorks, because that's where the documentary is. That's all I'm going to say now, is because I've mentioned it so many times. That's where the documentary is.
Yeah.
And you can follow me on Twitter, at EganWorks.
I also have a Twitter. It's my name. It's @ZachBruin. I make vines, and I get pictures of my friend's cat sent to me now.
Oh.
And as of recent, I'm also on Snapchat. Don't follow me, because that would be weird.
I actually can't get Snapchat. I checked.
What?
It's not compatible with my Nexus 7.
Oh, that's strange.
Not
I'm
yet.
Sorry.
So once they do that, then everybody, look out.
Look out. Gonna be... I Snapchat with my friend in Japan right now.
Nice.
He moved there recently because he's teaching English, I think, at high school level. But he's going to be living there for a while. And, yeah, Snapchat. Tell your friends.
Nice.
Where can people find our blog stuff?
People can find our blog stuff on the blog itself, which is firstpersonblogsim.wordpress.com. We are on YouTube now with our first ever review of the Adventure Time DS/3DS game. At youtube.com/FPBSim.
Spoilers, buy it for the 3DS.
Yeah, really. And we are on all of the social media. We are on Twitter, @FPBSim, or twitter.com/FPBSim. We're on Tumblr, @FPBSim.tumblr.com, and we are on Facebook, @Facebook.com/FPBSim.
And I should really, I keep thinking of this. I never utilize our Twitter in the way that I want us to, because I really want to do like a, hey, we're podcasting today, ask us questions, because I think that might draw in more questions than doing the email thing. Also, if you got good ideas for the punchline that I should put at the end of the show for when I say email us a thing, email us at fpbsim@gmail.com.
Title it Punchline Ideas, or...
Ideas with a Z.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Nailed it.